Well, welcome to today's podcast replay from the Killer Bee Studios. Let's go ahead and dive on in. Well, let's start off with our story, how this all came up. How did this topic come up? So how many of you here have used Instacart? Anybody here? Instacart fans? Okay, I see some thumbs up. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, I see. Okay, the girls over there. All right. How many of you love Instacart? Let me ask you that. Do you actually love Instacart? Okay, yeah.
Actually love it.
Love it, yes. Well, Instacart has, what do you say? Would you say it's changed our life?
Yeah, it has changed our life. But Metalivia is making like, what do you call that face? She's making like disgusted face about Instacart.
I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Oh explain why.
Please do tell.
Well, sometimes it honestly all depends on the person that you
get.
Yeah,
the shopper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they go out of their way to make sure that you get what you want. Other times I'm like, excuse me, that was a substitution.
Yeah. You're like, you didn't even try.
Substitutions, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. An onion and an apple are not the same.
Oh my gosh. So that reminds me.
That's pretty good.
Two times now. Oh, I just tried to make two, but you can't make two with. Oh, so this is kind of two. Two times I have ordered beets and I got radishes instead, which are very different. I mean, they look similar, but they are very different.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
I don't blame them. I think they tried. They thought it was a beet.
See,
but
now, Metalivia, this is where it gets a little, can get a little touchy on the conversation here because Mrs. Killer Bee always thinks that they tried and she still tips them very well. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Like, they didn't. They obviously didn't try. You don't tip them all the time like that. I don't know. That's
how
just me.
How will they learn?
I know.
I really want to agree with you, Metalivia, but the thing is, like, the tipping is one thing, but then, like, the rating, I cannot give someone less than 5 stars. I just can't do it. Even if they've forgotten a whole bag of my groceries, I still rate them 5 stars and I add them as a favorite. I'm just like, well,
this is Killer Bee.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
See, look at everybody. How many people here would always give a 5-star rating if somebody didn't bring your groceries
to their
customer?
Somebody is with me,
right? Everybody's shaking their head. No. Mrs.
Oh,
Killer Bee.
You're so much stronger than me. Okay. So let me just say this too. I asked for the favorite option. Literally. I was like, please give us a favorite option. I have favorites. I'm going to choose them. I want them. And we have tons and tons of shoppers around here because we're close to a lot of stores. And so they gave us the favorite option. I'm sure not because I asked, but then I like found that I could not pick someone as my favorite. So every shopper I've ever had is picked as a favorite. So now I still don't get my favorites.
I was like, you don't understand how these apps work. You don't understand.
I do understand it, but I just thought, what if these people see that I did not pick them as a favorite? Then they're going to feel bad about themselves. Not all right with that.
That means they need to improve. How are they supposed to get better if they're like, well, you know what? Mrs. Killer Bee says I'm perfect.
Yeah. So actually, our Instacart app is under his name, so they don't know it's me.
Wait a minute.
Even more reason.
Yeah, no, I just can't.
That's why people look at me and point and laugh.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other people around here who are going to give them the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
now we're going to have another conversation.
And, like, you know, like,
you can encourage them, say, I mean, thank you for doing that, but you did it really not correctly. So
I encourage you,
feedback.
If you would like to get a 5-star rating or a tip, I encourage you to do better next time.
Exactly.
Now you guys can do that. I got my thing and I'm sticking with it.
You need to get your own account set up then. I'm learning a lot here. I did not even realize this is where we're going down in this conversation.
Actually, she's probably saving you, Mr. Killer Bee.
Right?
From getting,
I'm saving
like,
his life.
In public. Yeah.
Being assassinated. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm not that mean, but I will.
I'm just kidding.
You know, that is, wow, that's a shock. I did not know that. Well, yes. Yeah, so Instacart relationships can be a good and bad experience, I guess, going through that process. And that's something we've definitely learned about.
Thing.
Yeah.
I meant to look on my app before I got on the show and I forgot about it. But I think my app says I've saved 600 hours since I have gotten Instacart.
Whoa.
That's kind of crazy, right? Let's not think about what I've done instead with 600 hours, but.
Well, I mean, there's sometimes like we'll order special stuff. Like, you know, I can't have like milk. So we'll order like an oat milk creamer and we'll order. I'm like, man, I need that. And they'll be like, nope, there wasn't nothing there. And they never even reached out to see if they had a substitute. And I'm like, I bet if we drive down there, it's right there. And sure enough, we did. And there was like two left. I'm like, just buy them both. But it's, yeah, you know, but that's part of like, you know, we were talking about this. Me and Mrs. Killer B were talking about this before we came on tonight, as we were talking about what we're going to talk about tonight, the show. And I said, you know, there's going to come a time in our kids' lives or their kids' lives where they're going to say, Grandma and Grandpa, you guys used to have to go to the store and push that cart thing around. Because it's like nobody does it anymore. You know, it's we just sit at home and have people bring us stuff. So,
I mean, if you actually went to a Walmart anytime, there are tons of people there.
They're all Instacart like people, aren't they?
Aldi. Well, there is a lot more than there used to be. I mean, oh gosh, that just reminded me, guys, this is funny. I went to Walmart the other day. And, you know, there are a lot more of the shoppers there now than there used to be. And they push around these big metal carts. And one literally hit me because she was going so fast out of the aisle. She didn't see me. And she hit me and she was like, oh, I am so sorry. And I was like, it's fine. I'm good. And she was like, she just like sped on along. Like they're like really on a mission now, you know.
She's probably our Instacart and she probably gave her a 5-star rating.
No, listen, Instacart can't go to Walmart because Walmart has their own shoppers. So Instacart, okay. You're not allowed to order from Walmart.
Okay, I know nothing
Instacart.
About this stuff.
I know. Gosh.
Well, okay, let's get going on the topic here, because okay, it was from our Instacart order where this conversation came up. They actually brought – this is one of the bad sides of Instacart to not actually going to the store. You know, they brought all this fruit and we grabbed it. I'm like, that fruit doesn't taste good. It just doesn't taste good. And Mrs. Killer B was like, what do you mean? It tasted fine last time. I was like, it's not even ripe. Like, it's not ripe at all. It's like there's no taste to it. And through that conversation, like, I don't know, has anybody here ever had fruit before that just wasn't ripe yet? Or maybe fruit that maybe was a little too ripe?
Yeah. I just recently bought a bag of mandarin oranges and flavorless. You can't really tell with those. That's not really anyone's fault because they all look the same on the outside. It's hard to tell unless they're green. But yeah, they're terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not good at all. There's no taste. Yeah, that was one of the things. I mean, there's no flavor to this thing at all. So
there are a lot of things. So there's a lot of things that your shopper should be able to tell if it's ripe or not. But oranges, that's not anyone's fault. You can't really tell.
Yeah.
Hidden Blaze.
Hey, Hidden Blaze, come on up.
Down.
I wanted to say I sort of side with Mrs. Killer B. I don't leave reviews unless they're a 5-star or more. I usually don't try to do that. So
yes.
But if it's not a 5-star, do you not leave a review?
I don't like to leave bad reviews.
See, she just always gives a good review no matter what.
Listen, it doesn't matter. He's on my side, and we're just leaving it at that.
but as far as fruit, I always drive me crazy. I'll buy bananas, and one day they're green, and then the next day they're overripe. I'm like, I missed the sweet spot.
I know. Yeah, that's a really hard one these days. Yeah.
This is a tough one. That is a tough one. Thanks for sharing that.
Speaking of bananas, I bought bananas from Aldi and they never ripened. They never did. They stayed green the whole time until I opened one. They were still green on the outside, but they were black on the inside. So I don't know how that is even possible, but that is what happened.
Oh, good soldier's coming down. Go ahead, good soldier.
Well, I bet he has an answer for us. Hey, good soldier.
I bought a bag of apples. And to this day, I can't tell you what happened or why, but they tasted just like chalk.
Ooh.
Ew.
Remember the old days when you used to clear the chalk erasers together?
Yeah.
They tasted like chalk. They had like no moisture in them at all.
Wow.
I have no idea. I actually, we just threw the whole bag in the garbage. We couldn't figure anything out. And everybody, we started cutting them open. Have no idea what happened.
Wow. Interesting. That is
disgusting.
Weird.
Ugh. I hope that never happens to you again, good soldier.
Well, I hope it never happens to you either.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Maybe
love
there's
apples.
Some of those people that didn't deserve a 5-star it could happen to.
hey.
Meta Libby's just shaking her head no over there. She's like, no.
Look, Dina's shaking her head too.
Mrs. Killer B gave me a 2 Wawa limit.
too long.
So she's being very careful. I love like looking over there and Diener and Matt Olivia are shaking their head like, you know, like so much judgment coming from that corner.
Well, what's interesting is as this happened, like this really is something that did happen here recently. And we were talking about it, about the fruit not being ripe. I'm like, man, like it's hard to even get fruit in season anymore. It's like they pick everything so early and then we get it and it's not even close to being ripe. And it's just not the same. And through that conversation, it kind of led to us talking about how, like, how often do we do that in life? Mm-hmm. Like, not just in picking groceries, but even in life when it comes to things that we want and we push. Like, I know I've pushed for things I'm like, oh, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. And I push and push, push until it finally happens. And then it happens. And then I regret that it happens because I'm like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be like. And then I'm complaining. But really what it came down to is I pushed for something and it wasn't season for it yet. It wasn't time for that to happen, but I made it happen and then I regretted it. And we were talking about that, like, well, this might be a good thing to talk about it. We'll trick everybody in with our Instacart talk and then we'll transition. So
we'll get serious.
We'll get serious, people. Oh, we'll get serious,
heart, apparently.
Yeah. Serious.
I didn't mean to. I don't even know why I did that.
So that's the transition into the serious side of this conversation. So with that, I would love to ask Mrs. Killer B and Meta Olivia. I want to get your guys' thoughts on something. I want to ask you guys both this question. And Mrs. Killer B will go first with you, and then you can hand it over to Meta Olivia.
Okay.
Is there a time that you would like to share? Actually, I'm not – share a time. I'm going to ask you if you want to share. No. Is there a time – is there a time in your life – no choice when you've rushed into something that led to regret?
Because I don't know the ages of everyone here, I'm going to be discreet in what I say here. What I regret rushing into is when I was a teenager and I thought I was ready for adult relationships. And, you know, when I was 16, 17, I thought I was done growing up. I was like, wow, I'm an adult. Like, I know exactly what's going on in life. You know, no one could tell me anything. This is why, you know, this is what happens to you when you're a know-it-all as a teenager. You get a know-it-all as a child. It's just the truth. That's what happens. And, you know, so now I have to learn how to deal with that. But that's what happened is like no one could tell me anything because I already knew exactly what I was going to do with my life. So when I was ready to move on to adult relationships, I did. And I regret that because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what impact it would make on me emotionally, you know? Oh. And so I would just say, if there's anyone here who finds themselves in that situation, it doesn't hurt to wait. It doesn't hurt to wait longer and make sure that you're ready and you're in the right place before you grow up too fast, you know?
I still have a hard time. I think that at 44 that I can go sit in with adult conversations and I still get kicked out. So it's still not made it there. But yeah, that's a really good thought. Well, thanks for sharing that, Mrs. Killer B. How about you, Meta Olivia?
I can't think of anything like in particular that actually happened, but there's been so many times where I was like mad at God that something I wanted to happen didn't, but I was able to see if it did happen that I would have really regretted that it did happen. Oh. Of just like, you know, wanting a certain job at a particular time or wanting to marry someone that I thought was the person I was supposed to marry and wasn't, and being mad that it didn't work out. And like, now I'm like, oh my gosh, that would have been horrendous.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just have, you know, tons and tons of those, but none that I can think of that I actually did where I was like, oh man, I regret doing that. So,
So really you were saved from a lot of regrets because, you know, things like happened or whatever, but then you got to see, you know, a different perspective once it was passed. Then you're like, ooh, if that would have happened, that would have been bad. Yeah.
And while it was happening, I was, you know, not happy. Like I was mad and I'm like, this isn't fair. This is ridiculous. Why can't I have what I want? Like that kind of thing. So even, you know, if it doesn't happen, I still learned a lot. yeah, without actually doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds like a lot of like God's provision for you, like saving you from regrets, really. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I can think of one regret, Matt Olivia, for you.
What?
It's probably it was that pirate hat, because you asked me, how do I get it off? I can't get it off. And you put it on real quickly. You made a decision. And you came in, you couldn't get rid of it. So so nobody listening to the podcast can see it. But yeah, she's got it. I'll have to take a picture and make sure we post it with it. Well, I would love to ask everybody here, how many of you have ever felt the pressure to make something happen quickly? Has anybody here ever felt that pressure before? Would anybody care to come down here and just share? Give us like share your experience with us as well. It's easy to kind of fall into that mindset of jumping into feeling rushed because of the we're really in the fast paced world that we're in. There's a lot of pressure there. So I would love to know from you, Mrs. Killerby, is there anything that you've felt like the pressure, like that from the pressure of just life, that you feel like you find yourself jumping in and doing some things too soon, when really you could step back and really process that? And what are some ways that maybe you might, or you're learning how you can make room to be a little bit more patient? If that makes sense.
So I would say that one way I've felt pressured. So like right now I'm doing kind of like a side business of cooking and cleaning for people in their homes. And I have felt the pressure occasionally to take on more clients than I really actually want, you know, to handle. And part of that, I think, comes from like, part of it comes from like, oh, well, if I take one more client, then that's this much more money, which will help us. So, you know, that's part of it. But another part, an even bigger part, is I don't want to say no to people. So, you know, through my life, through different times, I've had to learn this lesson again and again, where, you know, I think probably when Ashton was a little kid, so probably 15 years ago, I had to learn to say no. And I got really good at it. And I did much better at managing my time and just balancing better. And then it just seems like, you know, every 5 years I fall back into it again, where I have to learn the lesson again. And that's where I am right now, is like, I'm not saying no as often as I should. And I'm not putting the most important things first, so that, you know, the other things kind of fall in line. So that's where I feel tempted to kind of like make things happen, is I'm like, I'm not going to stop and take the time to think through this and make the right decision. I'm just going to do it, get it done, and be done. And then I'll think about that later. So that's kind of where I feel the pressure right now, is that, you know, I need to stop and think about things before I give people answers. Gotcha. And not just think, I'll handle this later.
I think that's the thing, like even feeling the pressure to not say no. It's something that I've learned to try to help remind myself. Like if I'm saying yes to everybody, I'm saying no to somebody.
Yeah, and I'm the one that taught you that, actually.
I know. But it's really...
I need to apply it again.
But Olivia just wants to hit that button so bad. But it is. It's so true. Like, because, I mean, if we are saying yes to everybody, you're saying no to somebody. So you can say, I don't want to say no to somebody. You don't like saying no, but you're going to have to say no to somebody. And it might be somebody that really matters more in your life as well.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. What are some ways that you've started to maybe make room to be patient and think about things a little bit more before making a decision?
Yeah, that was like exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, I could have said like things I rush into that, you know, I do regret, which I'm trying to do better at, is I want to know things. So for example, if someone's like, we have to have a conversation, like, you know, even you and I, Mr. Killerby, in work, if something's going on, like, I want to have the conversation now and talk it out. But it's probably better to process and think about things before speaking, or, you know, that. But I'm like, I need to get this done right now. And then a lot of times I say things that I regret saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I can see that definitely in relationships. Like sometimes things happen and you're like, we need to talk about this right this minute. But then if you would have really processed it, you know, I really appreciate what you're saying there, because I feel like I do that a lot. like, I need to tell you right now, like, why that bothered me. When if I would have waited, like, even, you know, 15 minutes, I would have felt a little, you know, more calm about it.
Which you're really, this is something that's very interesting about Mrs. Killer B, is actually one of the other questions that I had was, has anyone here, maybe you guys can let us know by throwing some confetti too, has anyone here ever experienced a strain in a relationship due to rushing into decisions or actions? Has anybody experienced that before? Yeah, Suze. And, you know, what's interesting, Mrs. Killer B, is you're sharing that about how, like, you know, you kind of want to rush in sometimes and get that answer. But she's very patient with our son, which should be like, he needs time. And she's always been with that with him. Like, he needs time alone. He needs time to process it. And I'm like, no, we need to handle this now. And she's like, no, you need to let him process it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, he does. We've learned that he does need that time.
He does need that time. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else feels like this. If you have children, like, do you find sometimes that you're more patient with your children than you are with your spouse, or vice versa, maybe?
Oh, like, people is like throwing her hands up. She's throwing some confetti.
I know. I don't know. Total double standard, but I'm definitely guilty of it.
We have Dolo. Hey, Dolo.
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you doing?
How are you?
I love the sweater, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I rush to work every day and I rush home.
Yeah, I get that. The rushing home part. I do get the rushing home part.
And this never feels like you're quite getting there on time.
We're rushing to get there, and the place is going nowhere.
Oh, man.
That's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, if you really think about that. Thank you, Dola. There's a lot of things that, wow. Mm. That's a good question to be asking ourselves a lot, too. Like, what are we rushing in life? And is it taking us where we are wanting to go? So, Mrs. Clarita, do you have – Mrs. Clarita or Meta Libby, do you guys have anything to add about this topic of rushing into things?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
Oh, I was just going to ask you guys a question back. Since you both said you've rushed into things and have had some regrets, have you learned things through those regrets, though?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I can't think of a single thing in my life that I regret that I didn't learn a lesson from. Definitely. What about you?
I would say that, you know, something that, and I know, you know, some of you here, if some of you here are Christians, I would say probably this might be something that you might be able to relate to, but for myself, one of the things that I was raised and heard a lot was, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. God said, and I was raised up hearing that a lot. So then what I didn't realize this till later through maturing in my own life and my own walk that I realized that, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible about, you know, not taking the Lord's name in vain. And what God started showing me was, if you say, I said that you're supposed to do this, you're kind of basically trying to put a seal on something saying, I don't want you to say no. I don't want you to disagree with it because God said, and you put a stamp on it. Though God, if you really ask yourself, did God really tell you that? Or is it something that you're just, this is something you really want to do? Because putting God's name on it, almost like a seal, is using his name in vain as well. And that was something I had to learn. And now it's like a lot. I'm really careful when I say, well, God told me this or God said this for me to do. And because it really puts everybody in a place where it's like, well, don't argue with it. Mrs. Killer B, what are you going to say if I say, well, God told me to do this? Well, okay.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
All right, let me just back on over here because I ain't going to mess with that. You know, that's what it kind of does. So that's one thing that I've learned for sure. I'd like to ask, does anyone here have a story where timing was crucial and that rushing in could have been a huge mistake? Like it could have really affected your life.
Have an example about that.
Go ahead.
And I did not even think about that till just now. So some of you might have heard us tell our story before where Mr. Killerby and I actually went to the same high school, but I only remember meeting him like once early on in high school, and he was 2 years older than me, but we talk about all the time Well, okay, I should also say that we didn't start dating until after my sophomore year of college. So that was, you know, several years after we graduated, obviously. And so that's when we like really met and started talking and dating and all that. So we talk about it a lot, how if we would have actually started dating in high school, we definitely would not have made it because of just the different ways that we were in high school and the different things that were going on. And, you know, we just had different values and things at that time. And so we talk about that all the time. So it's really a beautiful thought if you think about it, that something can be right for you, but not the right time. So you have to wait for the right thing and the right time, you know, God's timing. If you're a Christian, you know, that's the way we look at it. And so it's just, I just thought of that when you said that timing was crucial for us because had we dated in high school, we would not know each other now.
How many people here, if you want to throw a confetti, would say that you've at some point, Devtoon's already thrown confetti. He's like, I haven't even asked the question yet. Yeah. I would say that maybe that's something that you've done in, when it comes to a relationship. Like, I think relationships is one of the things that was easy for me to rush because I wanted to have a relationship with someone that, you know, cared about me and stuff. Like, that was something I desired. So, anybody else here that can relate to that in some way?
Yeah,
definitely you.
Sure.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting story, and I know we'll get ready to wrap it up here too. But there was a, there's a show that we're watching. What's that show called? Do you remember?
It's called Special Forces World's Hardest Test or something like that.
It's like the world's longest TV show title too. I didn't realize that. if you guys haven't seen this, go, it's on Hulu.
Hulu. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So just look up Special Forces. It's like a reality show.
Yeah. It's celebrities are going through what's basically like a Special Forces boot camp type thing.
Yeah.
To see, you know, how tough they are, how, you know, how they can, if they could actually make it in Special Forces training. It is such a good show.
Yeah, which is very interesting because
every single time.
Yeah, Mrs. Killerby is not one of those people that usually, when I put it on, I thought she's going to watch one episode and I'm going to get to watch this show by myself. And she's like cooking or something. No problem. Yeah. And she's like, every night, she's like, let's watch that show. Let's watch that show. And I'm like, are you serious? Can we watch something else? Like, I want to watch that show. I'm like, all right, wow. She's really, she's all in on it. But what is interesting in the show is there's a very wide range of celebrities, people that you would think like this person is going to go really far. People are like, they're not going to last long. And you will be surprised of, you know, what happens. I don't want to give away a lot in case
don't give away anything. There's like, we can just give them a sampling. There's NFL players. There's
NBA basketball players.
I was just trying. What is the basketball? I cannot think right now what it's called. What is the basketball league?
NBA. Huh?
Yeah, NBA.
NBA.
I was thinking NBC. I was like, I know that's not right.
NBC.
There's Olympians. There's a beauty queen. There's professional soccer players. There's
bachelorettes.
Bachelorettes. Yep. There's actors and all kind. I mean, just
baseball
a wide
players.
Variety. Oh yeah, baseball player. That's
baseball
great.
Players. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they have this wide range of, again, like they're athletic. Some of them are athletes. Some of them are not. But there's one part in the show where they all had to stand on this boat and this boat's going full speed. And basically they have to jump out of the boat and grab this, like this little floating like buoy thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they grab that, there's a chopper. It's a Black Hawk chopper flying in, which Lady Hawk, you'd love that. This Black Hawk chopper comes flying in and they drop a rope. And this person has to grab that rope and try to climb up into the chopper. And it's crazy because the water is going nuts.
From the ocean,
From the ocean, and all this, you know, the helicopter and all that stuff. It's insane to see what happens. But here comes the NBA person. You're like, this NBA person is going to knock this out of the ballpark, right? I mean, even though he plays basketball.
Out of the basketball court.
He's going to slam dunk this, right? That's what you're thinking. Well, what happened was, you know, they're training them because in a real life situation, they said this could be like a rescue mission where you need to get out. And if you don't make it up that rope, your life's over. Like you're not going to live. So they get one shot. So this guy jumps out, grabs the buoy, and he is so much in a rush. The helicopter's coming. They drop the rope, but he doesn't wait for the rope to get close to him. He just lets go and starts swimming over to it. And as soon as he did that, they said he's not going to make it. Did you see what he just did? He left. He went. He's swimming towards the rope. He's going to use all his energy to get to that rope, and he's not even going to make it up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he barely made up a little bit, and they actually was. It got to a pretty scary situation because he went under, and he wasn't coming back up. So they had to send divers from the helicopter down to go check him out. But you know, I'm like, man, I can totally relate to that. And you know, not always are like life threatening, but how many times have I spent so much energy trying to get to something and I've wasted all that energy if I would have just waited till it was the right time to, you know, that God had brought it into my life instead of wasting all that energy.
So it's so hard because, you know, I don't think social media has done us any favors when it comes to seeing the stages that other people are in. And then we're like, well, I'm ready for that stage too. Let's make it happen. And, you know, not everybody's stage is right for us at this point. And, you know, you can rush yourself into lots of places. I mean, I know someone in particular who was ready to have a baby and she knew that her boyfriend was not the person that she should have been having children with, but she did some things and she made it happen. And then they ended up breaking up and, you know, then she raised her baby on her own. So it's like, you know, you can say, I want this and I'm going to make it happen, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
No.
You know, it's not going to be the best situation if it's not the right time for you to actually have that. Even if it's a blessing, like a baby, you know, it's timing is everything.
Timing. Well, I mean, it is like, I mean, we know fruit is good for us, right? We know fruit's good for us if we're going to eat healthy, but if we pick it too early, it's just not going to taste the same. It's not going to taste same. I guess it's really not bad for you though. Still. If you
so actually, well, I wouldn't say it's bad for you, but it's not as good for you because the ripening, the final ripening stage of fruit is when all of the very best like antioxidants are formed. The, you know, there's all sorts of things in perfectly ripe fruit that are cancer fighting and good for your blood sugar, like good for a lot of things. But if you don't let it get to that final ripen stage, and really they say it should ripen on the tree. So of course it's very hard to get fruit like that from a grocery store. They have to pick it early. So it's not at its full nutritional potential because it was picked too early. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot that. Yeah, I learned about that. It's not as good for you.
And as we get ready to wrap up, one of the things I would encourage people to be thinking about too is if you are a Christian, if that's something that, you know, your life and you're going through and you're trusting in God, that's something that I feel like for me, I've had to start learning more and more through like my time of reflection of like, do I really trust him to go at his speed? Do I really trust him knowing that I don't know his speed in this situation, but I'm going to be listening to him, talking to him, and waiting for him to help me know this is the right time instead of trying to make things happen on my own.
Hey everyone, I want to take a second and invite you to join us live in the metaverse. You can join us live at the Killer Bee Studios. All you need is your very own VR headset. You can order an Oculus headset using the affiliate link in our show notes. Not only does it help support what we're doing here at Killer Bee, but Meta will also hook you up with some cool reward points. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes, and we hope to see you at our virtual studio.